What should your single biggest priority be when you start a new job in competitive intelligence? And how should the way you manage your time change as your CI team grows? These are a couple of questions I asked Gal Torin, JFrog's competitive intelligence team lead, and today's guest on the show. Gal has a background in academic and think tank research, and has spent the last 8 years tackling competitive intelligence hands-on across the tech space from cybersecurity to DevOps. You're listening to another episode of the Compete Clarity podcast, so sit back, relax, and join me in welcoming Gal Torin to the show. So you've been working competitive intelligence roles since as far back as 2016. Do I have that right?
Yes, doing purely competitive intelligence since 2016, just about.
Right, awesome. Okay, so I thought we'd kind of start there because it sounds to me, from what you've told me before the call, that yours is a story pretty much of overcoming. You mentioned that someone who's now a very close partner of yours once said, but I'll quote this directly, "I don't see how you'll be able to succeed in this role with no technical background," end quote. Tell us a bit about that, how an early comment like that affects you when you're kind of new to competitive intelligence and how you've, well, quite clearly done very well and succeeded in spite of that lack of a technical background.
Yeah, so that was a very, a true story that was stung for a bit, but after it was a great success for me because, like you said, I overcame that. You know, when you come into competitive intelligence, you aren't usually the subject matter expert when you come into a new company. You have to gain that knowledge because you move from one company that might be doing business in one domain, might be B2B, another company that's maybe B2C, and you have to learn a new domain. So you're never the subject matter expert when you come to a new company. And I think the most important thing when you're starting out at a new company in this role, or generally when you're new at this role, is to build trust with the stakeholders that you have and to make yourself available to them, but in a trustworthy way, not just to be, okay, I can build this for you, I can build that for you, but actually listen to their pain points, show that you care. At JFrog, one of our biggest codex values is caring. So that's one thing that I value a lot. And generally as a company, we value. So I think when you care, when you show you care, and you ask the right questions, you're able to show that you're able to show your commitment to that competitive intelligence and show your commitment to doing the business, driving the business, and you'll succeed that way.
Got you. Okay. So that technical background that this person mentioned, they were speaking specifically about the technicals with regard to the company itself and the work that they do.
I don't think you need a purely technical background to come into competitive intelligence. That depends. I think people come to competitive intelligence from a variety of backgrounds, and we always say no one goes to school for competitive intelligence. You don't get a degree in competitive intelligence. So you kind of learn that along the way. The technical part comes in, yes, when you're in a new company, in a new role within that new company, and you're serving customers that need to feel like you're understanding them and feel like you're talking their language, not just marketing fluff, but actually speaking value and speaking to their pain points. And to do that, you need to go through the seller's pain points and the sellers in your organization, gain their trust. Once you're able to do that, they'll also be thankful and give you the right intel that you need to be successful later on.
Right. Okay. So when someone's coming into CI for the first time, you'd say the most important thing for them is to establish trust with their key stakeholders first. So, you know, if someone's coming in, they're wondering, what do I prioritize first? Is kind of a project or a job to get done? That for you would be the first and most important thing.
100%, 100%. Again, those people might distrust you in the beginning because you're not from their domain. You don't speak the right lingo yet. You've come from outside. Once you show them that you care, once you show them that you're committed to listening to their pain points, to listening to what they're hearing from the field, to listening to what they need from you to succeed in that business, then you'll be able to gain their trust and they'll trust you, and you'll be able to gain a good relationship out of that.
Cool. One thing that you put down in some notes for me was
the words prove commitment to learning, improving, and helping. And I think that's so important, right? Like, you really want these people to, but all of your stakeholders, to understand that you're on board with them, and you might not have all the answers right away, but this is something, it's a work in progress. And the first iteration might not be the best one, but it's also just the first iteration. It's not the final version of whatever it is that you're giving them, enablement, content, battle cards, whatever it is. It's a work in progress to move towards that end goal for them. It's going to be better for everybody.
I absolutely agree. In the end, we're human. We all have emotions, whether we like to show them or not. When you tap into people's emotions and you're able to, again, gain their trust, show your commitment, you'll be able to collaborate with them a lot better, and also show vulnerability sometimes. Again, like you said, you're not going to know everything day one. You're not going to provide the best service or the best deliverables day one. You need to show that you don't know sometimes and ask the right questions. Be humble, and you'll be able to, when you show vulnerability, people tend to come towards that and try to help you with what you need as well.
Right, right. So let's say someone listening to this has a new competitive intelligence role lined up at a new business. How much do you think they should stress or worry, if they already are, about bringing themselves up to speed before day one, on kind of the market, on the competitors, on doing all of that work? You know, it, because I feel like people must feel pressure to come in and be that subject matter expert, even though it's kind of, you know, it's not necessarily fair on themselves. It's not necessarily a fair expectation for other people internally to have on them, but it might exist anyway. Do you think that's something people should worry about, or do you think they should just kind of relax into it and develop at their own pace in the role as best they can?
Yeah, I think as always, the answer is somewhere in between. I think it's natural to stress out about that, and you want to be the best, and you want to show that you're knowledgeable and able to learn quickly. But on the other hand, you also need to, I don't think you can prepare a lot beforehand. I think you can prepare to a certain extent, but coming into the company, listening to the people who have been those subject matter experts for a longer time than you, looking into their experience, speaking to them, that will definitely help you. So stress a bit, because that's natural and that's okay. And don't let yourself cruise along too long. I think give yourself a short grace period, and then at some point you'll find yourself understanding just as things go.
Yeah, that sounds very wise. And I hear this a lot from people that I speak to. You know, like you said, one of the first things to do when you come on board in a new business is build trust with your other stakeholders. But one of the first points of call for gathering competitive intelligence is the subject matter experts already in the business, is speaking to sales, is speaking to customer success, and just bringing yourself up to speed and centralizing the intel that's kind of already disparately scattered through the heads, if you like, of other people in the business. Is that something that you tend to do early on when you're building a compete program, you know, consulting those different departments?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you start in an organization, you want to succeed as well. But also, on the other hand, you see a lot of people pulling you in different directions. They already have that intel, like you're saying. They might not have had the time to organize it properly. And now you've come in finally, and they're happy to see you, and they're happy to have someone to finally get that stuff done and get those battle cards ready, get all that research done, and tell people internally what they're expecting or what they're supposed to expect when they're out in the field. So it's a bit hard in the beginning when you're pulled into all of those different directions. My tip for that, when everybody wants something from you right now, is to hold on a second. Ask a few trustworthy people, like I said before, just try to figure out what the top five competitors that you need to focus on for the first few months are. Just start with those, provide quick value on those, not even a full battle card in the beginning. This can be even a quick doc, a Word doc, a Google doc with a few key points for your sellers. You can do that with the internal knowledge that people already have. Get that out there, get that into the field about those top five competitors, and start iterating on that, starting to build that out more. So that's what I tend to do in the early stages. Just figure out who's against who, who are my top five threats, top three to five, maybe, map those out, provide quick value, and then continue to iterate on that and expand more. And another thing I really recommend doing right when you start, and that's something that's very easy to get going relatively easily and fast, is a weekly newsletter, or maybe a monthly newsletter if you can't do it weekly yet. That's good for quick visibility, just to get everyone to know there's someone doing CI in the company right now, someone who's taking care of this. You can be calm. There's someone to send this stuff to when you hear about something, someone in the company to an address to go to. I think that's something, and getting everybody up to speed on a weekly or monthly basis, that's something that's a quick win, in my opinion.
Got you. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Like, so when you first come in, it's about understanding your limitations and what you can do with the time and resources you've got, prioritizing for the main competitors, and starting a bit of that conversation around competitive intelligence and putting your own name out there as a resource and as a trusted advisor on this stuff, as the subject matter expert you're going to become, through a newsletter at a frequency of weekly or monthly, whatever you can sort of handle in the beginning.
And again, like you said before, and reiterating on that, you're not going to have all of the knowledge in the beginning. So just being that someone who people can turn to with the knowledge that they have that you might not have yet, but they're not capable of doing a lot with it because they're not in the right role, or they don't have the time, the capacity for it. They now know they have you to go to. And that's absolutely a quick win and a quick starter.
Right. Awesome. Before we go any further, let's just get a bit more context around what CI kind of looks like for you. First of all, how large is the team? Is it just you? Is it you and one other person, a slightly larger team?
Yeah, thankfully, it's not just me anymore. It was just me for about 3 years. And we are now a team of four. We've grown very quickly, actually, and we're global as well. So we're spread out across the world, different time zones, and growing and achieving a lot of stuff for the company.
Great. And who are your main stakeholders for CI specifically? Who do you serve most of the time?
Right. Great question. We serve everyone. Again, everyone wants competitive intelligence. Once you're in the organization, they're hungry for it. I think, first of all, our primary stakeholder, my team is part of the CTO office, which is kind of a unique breed of organizational decision for JFrog. But I think it fits for JFrog very, very well. Our primary stakeholder is the CTO office and thinking technology first, product first. What other things are we seeing in the market that we can benefit our customers with, and looking ahead into the market in that sense? Because JFrog is a very tech forward company and product forward company. Aside from that, sales is a very big stakeholder of ours. We have a few hundred people using our competitive enablement platform. We use Clue. So we have quite a few sellers using that, and great success rates and great usage rates on that. So that's really nice to see. We also serve marketing a lot. So for marketing campaigns, website building, things that we need to do, a lot of external comparisons that we do for competitive and generally just positioning and marketing and messaging. That's something that's important to compete with as well. I think aside from those three, I will mention also product, the product team, kind of connecting to the CTO office as well. Same thing, technology. And at the top of the iceberg, there's the executive team, which we serve as well on a weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis, depending on what we do with them. But yes, the executive team is also very involved in competitive intelligence. very hungry for it and gets a lot of it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, well, congratulations on the growth of the team of four. I bet that's massively helpful because this sounds like that's a broad range of stakeholders there. But I'm interested to learn, actually, when it was just you, how on earth did you manage that spread? How did you manage your time to deliver effectively to all of those stakeholders?
Great question. So it wasn't all of them at first. What I suggest starting with, and going back to what we discussed before, I think starting out with value for sales, for the sales team, is the most important thing for you starting out in a new role. We don't like to think about it, but in the end, we're in business. Business is money. Sellers make money, and what the company is trying to do is make money. So if you can tap into the source that's making money, which are the sellers, and you can prove your value there, show how competitive intelligence is important in sales deals, showing how you can win those deals with competitive intelligence or reduce your losses, that's something that can be helpful, show your value, show your worth, and also help you grow the team eventually and get more people on board. So definitely sales. After that, marketing kind of comes along with that, because when you're looking into stuff for sales, you're looking into competitors' weaknesses, but you're also looking into competitors' strengths. That's something very important as well. We shouldn't neglect that. And sellers will most likely ask you for that stuff because they don't want to be tackled with something they don't know about a competitor. So once you're looking into those strengths, you're looking basically into what that competitor is saying about themselves, what they're highlighting about themselves, that is relating to their messaging and their positioning in the market. From that, you can get intel for marketing to position against for marketing campaigns and your own marketing team. So definitely marketing comes along with sales, and you can kind of, I don't want to kill birds, but you can do that. Yes.
Yeah.
What I did after that is also provide some value for the product team. And again, it kind of builds upon the other thing, the previous thing that you did. So you've proven value to sales, you know your strengths and weaknesses. Build on that, you have something for marketing. Build on that, you have product differentiators or product weaknesses for your product team, which they can benefit from. Start working with them. And executive team is definitely something at a more mature stage of your program, of your experience as a person in a career, who's managing their own career. That's something that is that comes a bit later, in my opinion.
Right. Okay. And now then that you're a team of four, what does the typical week in terms of like how you split up your time, how has that changed? How does that look different now from when it was just you supplying intel and analysis to all these stakeholders?
Yeah, I like that question. I'm thinking a lot about that these days. Yeah, so it's a lot more about managing the team. I didn't even think, it's obvious, I didn't take that into account when I just thought, okay, that's something else I'll be doing. But I definitely do less of the actual analysis myself. I still do that, but I manage the team more. I have more time and to do more like broader projects that aren't specifically urgent for a specific product launch or for a specific competitor that's starting to come up against us more. I have time to do more like cross-functional things. And definitely mature the program. The next thing I'm looking forward to a lot is showing, we haven't done that properly yet. I want to show the our ROI of the compete program. Yeah, absolutely. Show how we're proving value, show how we're attaching ourselves to revenue, how we're impacting win and loss rates and stuff like that. So that's the next maturity level I want to get to.
Awesome. And going back to what you said about, you know, prioritizing sales for people in the beginning when they come in, presumably that ties in again with something that you mentioned as well, the importance of getting ROI quickly when you come in. Why get ROI quickly at all?
Interesting question. So for a few reasons, I didn't have that problem at JFrog at least, but I know a lot of people struggle with getting people on board with competitive intelligence and getting them to realize that it's something that you need to do as a company. Luckily at JFrog, it was clear to everyone, starting from the CEO to like everyone in the chain is on board, and that was easy for me. So I didn't have to do that. But sometimes that's why you have to prove your value and bring quick visibility, quick wins, quick ROI. Another reason is that, aside from that, I think that even if executives are convinced that you need competitive intelligence, it's not necessarily a full role for someone. I think it should be, and we probably practitioners think it should be and see the value of doing it as a full-time job. But it's not a traditional role. It's not a must-have role in a company. And today, in today's economy, I hate saying that, it's kind of cliche, but we're seeing less and less job opportunities in this field. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of layoffs in general in a lot of companies across the board. So I think to show that you are worth your salary and you are worth keeping on the company, that's something that is important as well. And just to get everyone excited in the end and get everyone to trust you and to be able to do your job better in the long term. To show your commitment, to show that this is important for the company and you need to grow the team. You need to invest more in this. People need to listen to you as well. You can be the advisor that no one listens to you to, or you can, I'm saying trust a lot, but I think that's very important. You can gain that trust and be the trusted advisor that people listen to. And actually, that ROI can be not only proving your value, but also making an impact on the company's decisions, on the company's products and go to market. There's a lot of opportunities there. So absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Something that you've kind of really championed for us at Competitive Intelligence Alliance is this tool, the Competitor Scorecard. So I wanted to talk about that quickly. First of all, why use one? Why do you think people should be using them? How can they be helpful to practitioners in the day-to-day of their role?
Yeah, I'll start with a quick story, how the scorecard came to be. So I was speaking with my manager and a few years ago when we were dealing with a bunch of priority issues, a lot of requests coming in from different directions, a new competitor every now and then that we heard of and that we didn't know how to prioritize and how to, like, should we give resources to the research around that or not? We were kind of struggling with prioritizing a lot of things. And we decided to try to translate those qualitative insights that we had, those thoughts that we had, those words and thoughts that we had about those competitors into actual data and actual numbers. And we created this framework to translate those qualitative insights into data to then make a scorecard, a weighted scorecard to see which are your top competitors based on the aggregated score that they get in that framework. I think that's helpful for a lot of different cases. So for me, we were already an existing CI function, and we were getting a lot of requests about new competitors that we've never heard of. And we might have to dedicate more resources to them, but we weren't sure. So you can put that new competitor into that formula, see how they rank against other competitors, and get a quick decision on, is this a big threat to me, or is this something that I can that can kind of continue under my radar for a while? Also, if you're a new CI function or new in your role, like we were talking about before, it can help you a lot to understand who those top three or top five competitors are. So you can do that based on what people tell you, but you can also then take what those people tell you, put it into that framework, make it go through that process, translate it into data, and basically get that top three, top five threat map that you need to look into first.
Awesome. I think it's a great idea. And the feedback we've had on it, by the way, has been really, really strong. If anyone listening to this hasn't checked it out yet, I'll put a link to Gal's blog in the show notes and you can check it out for yourself. Just really practical. And it sounds like, certainly seems like a tool that's great for protecting against internal bias. You know, a lot of what we hear is, you know, businesses that don't have a particularly mature competitive intelligence function yet, or maybe they don't have one at all. The kind of attitudes towards competitors aren't very mature, as you might expect. Like they're either all about, well, we don't have any competitors at all, or you know, this competitor isn't relevant for all of these reasons, or they're kind of, you know, the sky's falling every time there's a new competitive development, and no one kind of knows how to react. Right. And if you need some focus, it just seems like a really great tool for kind of taking in all of the data that you have and that you can get your hands on, much of which is probably going to be opinions, and then quantify it and turn it into numbers that you can, you know, quite objectively stack up against each other and say, okay, despite everyone worrying about, you know, these folks over here, it's competitor X, Y, and Z that we really need to be focused on.
100%. I couldn't have phrased it better. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And it sounds also like it's not just about helping to prioritize, but also, presumably, correct me if I'm wrong, but about being able to justify decisions and kind of communicate where there's a need for something with leadership and perhaps some of those trickier stakeholders. Would you say that's true as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes even leadership gets, we were talking about humans and emotions before, and you said that sometimes you feel like the sky is falling every time a new competitor comes up. Even our leadership sometimes gets caught in those emotions, and you need to get them to see the data as it is. If you give a specific recommendation, you need to be able to back it up, because they're going to ask you, why are we looking into this? Why are we prioritizing this competitor over this competitor? Why do you think more marketing or product or engineering resources need to be fed into the fight against this competitor rather than that competitor? I can come with that scorecard and show this is why, because they are taking a few examples from the blog. You might be able to read it later, but they're number one in the Gartner and Forrester analyst reports. They're a consecutive leader in those reports, and we need to, and customers are buying according to that. So we need to pay more attention. We might be losing more to them. So that's another thing that we might need to pay attention more to. You can also break it down to those specific factors and see where that threat is higher or lower, not only in the aggregate score, but also in those specific factors. So you might want to focus more on wins and losses rather than how you come across in analyst reports. That's also something that it can help with.
Awesome. What I think that leads quite nicely onto is something that we've not spoken a whole bunch about yet, but that's sources of competitive intelligence. So I'm kind of wondering, how do you like to gather competitive intelligence? What sources do you favor? Do you find give you the best return on your time? You sort of mentioned wins and losses there. That's obviously a very popular one, quite a powerful one. Which ones do you turn to first?
Yeah, great question. So aside from our own CRM data and looking into the data of wins and losses, I go mostly to some like trusted industry sources, which can be either internal, like those stakeholders that we were talking about before. They might be subject matter experts. They might be someone who's knowledgeable in that field, who's in your company and you can get some intel from. And they can be external sources. So those can be, for me, mostly it's websites that I know that publish specific news about our competitors, have thought pieces about the market, about our industry. That's something that I look into a lot. And something that I think not everyone does, and maybe we don't do enough. We maybe did it more before COVID, but we need to be doing it more right now, is going to conferences. I find that conferences are the golden nugget for me. Like I find so many golden nuggets in those conferences. There are a few specific ones in our industry, but for every industry, there's a specific conference that everyone goes to at least one a year, where the industry is at, where there's news coming in from, where you can talk to all of the different vendors. So talk to different customers as well. You can really engage with people who are doing what you are doing in the same industry and the actual practitioners, and even talk to the competitors themselves, have a friendly chat. Never disguise yourself. We don't do that, but come as yourself, and you can sometimes have a nice chat. That's fine. And you can gain a lot of intel from those conferences. I think that's for me, that's proven to be the most important thing in terms of getting intel about competitors, but also intel about the market and where the industry is going to.
Do you have much experience with kind of your own, doing your own customer research? This seems like a source of CI that's probably quite time and resource intensive, but one that could be, you know, pretty powerful outside of obviously the CRM data and win-loss data that you're able to pull, I guess, much more efficiently from the work that's being done kind of naturally in customer success and sales. Is that something you have much experience with?
Yeah, absolutely. I try to, as in general, as a team, we try to join as many calls with customers as we can. That's not something scalable that you can do all the time, but we definitely try to join those calls. Then we're able to ask some questions, maybe interview the customer a bit about their current solutions and why they're considering us, why they're considering moving away from us. That might be the case as well. So you can do that while they're still your customer. That's one point. Another thing we do is we go through Gong recordings. So we use Gong internally. Any call recording management system that you have in your organization can be great for customer intel. You don't have to be on the call itself. That's helpful because then you can ask questions, but you can also just listen to the recordings, listen to what customers are saying about your product, about competitors' products, and get a lot of intel from that. And another thing, which I haven't delved into enough yet, but we're trying to do more, is win-loss interviews. And that's kind of after the fact, after the customer has joined you or left you or given up on you completely, you can talk to them and try to gain more intel on why that happened. And that's something that we're definitely looking into more now.
Yeah. Win-loss is something that comes up a lot in conversations with people that we speak to. And it always comes back to being, you know, one of the more powerful sources for quite obvious reasons. I think it uncovers sort of the reasons that buyers buy or perhaps say no to your product in favor of someone else's. Is it a budget thing that sort of stopped you so far? Is it a resource thing? Because I know that a lot of people favor using kind of a third party to do it for kind of conflict of interest isn't necessarily the right word, but that sort of thing. Perhaps, you know, customers are more willing to speak openly to someone who's not so involved.
Exactly. That's exactly the challenge that we've been having. We've tried to do it internally or by ourselves. We haven't been able to get enough customers to interact with us for it to be something that we can actually count on in terms of large amounts of data that are enough to quantify something or to see, to benchmark it. So that's definitely the biggest challenge right now. I think on one hand, it's best to, if you do it on your own, if a customer is willing to speak to you, sometimes that, if you keep it professional, sometimes that personal connection can still help you later on. So that's something that I think is valuable.
Is there anything you found that's kind of easy to forget during your day-to-day role that has a big impact, that someone just coming in, you'd think, oh, you know, this piece of advice will really save them a lot of time or a lot of hassle? Kind of any pitfalls you've noticed in CI that are easy to get trapped by, or perhaps even pitfalls that other stakeholders fall into that with your intel you can kind of help them out and help them avoid those?
I think something that I learned a bit too late is the importance of coalitions inside the organization. So when you have a specific recommendation, when you want to, and I think this is important in any role, not just competitive intelligence, when you want to get something done, it's better to have a lot more people to review that recommendation or that research with a lot of people, get a coalition, get some people to support you on that. And then it's a lot easier to carry out decisions and carry out all kinds of things that you want to make happen in the organization. When you have more people on board, that's easier and you get less barriers in the way. And one thing that's really helped to do that is, aside from doing internal reviews with people and getting them on board, is also the next step of that is doing some cross-functional meetings within the organization. So something we do at JFrog is a quarterly cross-functional meeting that is dedicated to competitive intelligence and usually dedicated to a specific competitor that we all do a deep dive on. And again, this is a cross-functional meeting. So we have someone from sales, marketing, finance, even product engineering from the executive team. Everyone's involved. You get everyone in the same room, talk about the same competitor. You have the executive team in there. So people are then accountable for the action items that come out of that room. And it's tricky. It's not easy to do and easy to get everyone to follow up. And even if people are committed to following up, it's not easy to in 1 hour, maybe 90 minutes, get all of those action items and get those discussions out of the way because sometimes they get heated up. So it's a bit tricky. You need to get the process right. And it took us a few iterations, but now I think we're getting it pretty much right. People are then following up on things to do. And then we have a company-wide approach versus a specific competitor that allows us to compete better.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's great advice. So mostly it seems like centered around breaking down those silos and getting everyone talking about competitive intelligence, getting yes. everyone to weigh on it in on it so that, you know, all that disparate knowledge can be collated in one place. With you, the competitive intelligence expert in the company, with these coalitions, and I guess having the regular cadence of a quarterly meeting with everybody keeps it in the back of their mind, so they know there's always another one coming up. They know when to expect it, and I guess especially after a few iterations of the meeting, like you said, as people discover things in the day to day, they're going to note them down and have them top of mind for when the next meeting rolls around.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Just to end on then, how can people perform their competitive intelligence responsibilities more efficiently, do you think? So a big challenge, obviously, as we've kind of alluded to throughout the conversation, is a lot of teams are very small. It's either one person, two people sometimes. Do you have any tips or tricks for people to get the most out of their program for their time and their energy?
Yeah, absolutely. So two important things. One was already mentioned. So one would be the weekly or monthly newsletter. That's a quick win. It doesn't require too much effort. And that's something that you can do and gets people on board very quickly and interested in competitive intelligence. And the other thing that you can do is fake scale your team, I like to call it. You're not actually growing the team, but you're using other people in other departments. So we have this competitive ambassador program within JFrog. We're not doing it in all of the teams as of yet. It's still growing. But in some teams, we have a competitive ambassador that is in charge of both bringing the competitive team intel from whatever they're doing, whether it's in sales or marketing, whatever they're hearing in the field or internally even. And also we can bring them initiatives from the competitive team, whether there's a new battle card that the sales team needs to know about, whether there is another different initiative that we're working on and we need team supports within the organization, we can leverage them to help us with that, basically. So those competitive ambassadors are kind of spread out through the company and, yeah, bringing intel and helping enable you and your program within those individual teams.
Sounds awesome. All right, Gal, thanks so much for talking with us. As I said earlier, I will put the link to your blog on competitive scorecards in the show notes so people can check that out because it's great stuff. Thanks so much again.
Amazing. Thank you, Alex. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Compete Clarity podcast. Before you go, I've got a question for you. In today's job market, differentiation is really important. Interview processes today have 4, 5, or even more stages, and proving your worth is getting harder all the time. How valuable would it be to you to be able to bypass all of that in the eyes of the recruiter because they're already familiar with your work? Well, listen, we want to help you by offering you the means to do just that. We'll work with you to quickly adapt your work into SEO-optimized articles, ghostwritten guides, and podcast episodes just like this one. It's never been easier to differentiate yourself, so why not start today? Sound interesting? Just send an email with sign me up in the subject line to contribute@competitiveintelligencealliance.io. That's contribute@competitiveintelligencealliance.io.